This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
From the frying pan into the fire.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Everywhere you look this morning, things seem to be going from bad to worse. Hopefully it's the darkness before the light. I don't know. But here's what I got. The federal government is bailing out insurance company AIG with an $85 billion loan. More on that in a moment. The Commerce Department says new home construction had a huge drop last month, 6%. The housing market hasn't seen a slowdown like that since 1991. So, Wall Street is in deep selling mode again this morning. So far, the Dow is down another 154 points in the first 20 minutes to 10,900. The NASDAQ has dropped 31. The S&P 500 is off 18. Shares in Europe are mostly lower, although not as much. In Asia, the markets were mixed by the close. The price of oil is back up a bit to $93 a barrel. So last night, the Fed agreed to rescue AIG from bankruptcy. But it's more like a government seizure than anything else. Joining us from New York, Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson. Jeremy, I guess we're back to that idea of too big to fail?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's huge. There's an analysis by RBC Capital Markets that says if AIG were to fail, it would cost the financial industry $180 billion, which is probably one reason why you don't hear a lot of partisan bickering coming from Washington right now about this deal. The other thing is, unlike Lehman Brothers, this sort of popped up on the radar screen last week, so the market just didn't have time to prepare for it.
Now, what are the terms of this particular bailout?
Well, it's an $85 billion loan from the federal government, in return for which the government will take about an 80% equity stake in AIG. The management will be replaced, and AIG will be paying that loan back, presumably, over a two-year period.
So there's a chance that taxpayers might get off the hook in the end?
There's a chance. Some think that there's no way AIG is going to be able to pay this back. On the other hand, there are parts of AIG's business that are doing just fine. There's an auto insurance division. There's an aircraft leasing unit. The theory is they would sell off these units and pay the government back. If they can do that, then all is well. If not, taxpayers are on the hook for that $85 billion.
All right, Jeremy Hobson in New York. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
Another $85 billion. If you add up all the government bailouts and special loans so far this year, the tab comes to almost $1 trillion. Commentator Robert Reich says that's not money well spent.
We haven't seen this much government intervention in the economy since Lyndon Johnson's Great Society. But this time it's Wall Street, rather than the poor, who's getting all the help. Free markets, by definition, aren't supposed to need government support. Companies whose shares plummet are supposed to be ripe targets for takeover without government subsidies and guarantees. Firms that need capital are supposed to be able to raise it without emergency loans from the government. So why are the free marketeers in the Bush administration rushing to Wall Street's aid? The answer goes deeper than the subprime mess. The street has suffered a serious erosion in trust. Yet trust is its most important asset. Financial markets trade in promises that assets have a certain value, that numbers on a balance sheet are accurate, that a loan carries a limited risk. If investors stop trusting those promises, Wall Street can't function. But in the last few years, many Wall Street promises have not been worth the paper they're written on. That's because when the securities market was roaring, many financial players had no idea what they were buying or selling. And worse, they didn't care. Derivatives on derivatives, so-called special investment vehicles to move assets off balance sheets, credit default swaps, and of course, securities backed by risky home loans. There seemed no limit to the financial smoke and mirrors. That meant almost no limit to what was promised, and regulators looked the other way. It worked great as long as everyone kept trusting and the market kept roaring. But all it took was a few broken promises for the whole system to break down. What to do? Not to socialize capitalism, as is now being done. What's lacking isn't capital, it's trust. And the only way to rebuild trust is through regulations that require financial players to stand behind their promises and tell the truth, along with strict oversight to make sure they do. We tell poor nations they have to make their financial markets transparent before capital will flow to them. Let's practice what we preach. Far better to regulate financial markets to keep them honest than to keep bailing them out.
Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. You can share your thoughts with us at our website, marketplace.org. This is the Morning Report for Wednesday, September 17th on marketplace.org. There's talk this morning about a British banking deal. Struggling mortgage lender HBOS is in talks with Lloyds about a takeover of HBOS. And Barclays has agreed to buy up some of Lehman Brothers' prime assets. Megan Williams has more on that.
For the 10,000 or so Lehman employees whose jobs have just been saved, news of the Barclays purchase came as a huge relief. The bulk of the payment went into scooping up Lehman's New York headquarters and two data centers. A mere $250 million in cash went to buying Lehman's North American investment banking and capital markets businesses. Financial analyst Mamoun Tazi calls the deal a steal for Barclays and a move that will bring ripple effects throughout Europe.
It changes the landscape in terms of who owns what, and I think it questions the viability of the investment banking model as a standalone. We'll have more investment banks tied up with commercial banks or wholesale banks to basically use the balance sheet of these banks to support the business of the investment banks.
The Barclays offer has to be finalized by next week to be approved by the U.S. Bankruptcy Court. I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
What a week. Lehman Brothers bites the dust. Merrill Lynch is now property of Bank of America. That leaves Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley as the last of the big standalone investment houses on Wall Street. And they're not having an easy time either. So the question is, are the days of the independent broker-dealer numbered? Marketplace's Bob Moon takes a look.
New York University business professor Roy Smith is a former partner at Goldman Sachs. He points out plenty of investment banks have failed or been acquired before, but others have taken their place.
This is a very competitive business, so the turnover of the leading firms is very intense.
Gone are names once so iconic even school kids could recite them.
A, B, C, D, E, F, Hutton.
When E, F, Hutton talks, people listen.
A lot of big firms that were household names well-known in America just aren't here anymore.
He says some firms might take cover under the umbrella of traditional commercial banks, but he points out even Citigroup and others have faltered. And he argues that more nimble investment banks can still compete by adapting to give customers what they want.
Higher quality of earnings, more predictability of earnings, less risk, less volatility, maybe more dividends and less growth.
Smith sees the current turmoil on Wall Street as just another cycle of what he calls constructive destruction. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Judging by the emails we've gotten recently, I'd say people are pretty furious about what's going on between Washington and Wall Street. But they're also worried about their own financial situation. Banks are losing people's trust fast. So how are they going to get it back? Here's Rico Galliano.
This is what financial firms are up against.
We found that 64% of the people don't trust the ethics of any kind of major corporation, especially financial. They think that the financial crisis is pure corporate and individual greed.
That's Faith Popcorn, CEO of marketing consultants Brain Reserve. She says to overcome those odds, financial firms should put their message in the mouth of someone people actually trust, like personal finance expert Susie Orman. She's become the voice of calm for the FDIC.
Listen, if your bank is insured by the FDIC and you stay within the coverage limits, your money is 100% safe.
Popcorn also suggests that as firms campaign to reassure customers, they should stick to the truth.
We want direct and clear, honest communications, and I'd say this is an anti-marketing era.
Marketing trust without seeming to market. Another delicate dance Wall Street may have to learn in this unbalanced economy. In Los Angeles, I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
Frankly, I'm kind of tired of talking about Wall Street. You're probably tired of hearing about it. So let's talk about Main Street for a minute. Here's my question. What does this financial mess mean for the guy who runs the hardware store or the woman who owns the local bakery? Here's Rachel Dornhelm.
The trouble at the top of the U.S. financial sector has small businesses worried. Todd McCracken is president of the National Small Business Association. He says business owners are concerned about whether their money is safe and whether they'll lose customers spooked by the turmoil.
Small companies are going to take it on the chin.
These worries are already playing out at Maribel, a used clothing store in Oakland, California. Owner Ann Hartford says sales have been slower since the latest Wall Street woes hit the headlines.
I feel like even if people aren't that indebted into the credit world, that they still read things like that and it slows them down a bit.
Hartford says all the turbulent news makes her feel better about her recent decision to move her shop's money.
I went from a smaller bank to a much larger bank. I felt like I had to do it business-wise. They can offer me a lot more protection.
National Small Business Association President McCracken says members worry the current upheaval isn't likely to ease the ongoing credit crunch anytime soon. In Oakland, I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
Some business stories just aren't getting covered this week. Like this breaking news. Researchers at Georgia Pacific say they've created a three-ply toilet paper. The new TP will be sold under the Quilted Northern label. It's ultra-soft, perfect for crying into when you read your latest financial statements. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.